Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Have you heard of Foxhole? If you haven't, today's your day to discover the smart TV distributed destination. The head of programming, James DeBose, joins me next in an interview exclusive from Boston. TV of Tomorrow Showtime returns virtually next week. Organizer Tracy Swedlow comes by to preview the activity later this hour. And Sesame Street has been a part of TV's existence for 52 years. That accomplishment will be celebrated Monday night on ABC. We'll converse about Sesame Street's Half Century Plus next hour with director Rebecca Gitlin. Also ahead, the first Independent Spirit TV Awards, our classic trivia question, and the takeaway of the week with a surprise contributor. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, and happy birthday, Dad. That's right, my dad's birthday, too. And we're brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 59 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and on this Friday, day after Earth Day 2021, and my father's birthday, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. We have a wonderful lineup of guests for you over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. And our chat room, as always, is open for business with you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon or Blog Talk Radio Speaker TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions of people live with you. James DeBose from Fox Soul joins us live from Boston after these news notes. For the first time ever, the annual Independent Spirit Awards recognize achievement in TV programming along with movies. I May Destroy You, the HBO series starring Michaela Cole, won Best Scripted Series and Best Ensemble Cast. Netflix series captured the other three TV honors, Unorthodox for Best Female and Male Performance, Shira Haas, who you may remember was nominated for an Emmy Award last year for her groundbreaking role, and Amit Rahab, respectively. And Immigration Nation also won for Unscripted Series. Don't forget the Oscars will be running on Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live to all time zones on ABC. Disney Channel will bring back Secrets of Sulphur Springs for a second season. More than 8.4 million viewers watched at least one episode of the Louisiana set mystery saga, now running on Disney Plus. Incidentally, we had the executive producers and creators of that show on this program earlier this year. In other renewal news, HBO Max will continue Selena Plus Chef, Selena Gomez's cooking program featuring all-star chefs and donations to worthwhile charities. Third season installments start later this year. A couple quickies before we get to our first guest. Bob Costas will make an interview series comeback on HBO later this spring, titled Back on the Record. FYI, it's been a decade since Costas had a last interview series on HBO. And Apple TV Plus's next documentary series will be a music-minded one. 1971, the year that music changed everything, will run the first of 8 episodes on May 21st. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts, the head of programming at Fox Soul, available to people through smart TV sets and smart devices, James DeBose. James, thank you for being with us.
No, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, James. Fox Soul has been around for about a year and a half. A lot of people still don't know about this service, but it really is catching a lot of steam. So tell us, first of all, how are things going with Fox Soul? And second of all, how did it get off the ground in the first place?
Right. So Fox Soul is Fox Corporation's first streaming channel that's dedicated to the black community. But I want to be clear in that it is unapologetically black, but it is something that we want to be consumable by all. I just feel it's very necessary for the sustainability of anything business, especially a startup or a network. What we are trying to do, Simon, is be the hip-hop version of what TV for the hip-hop version, meaning it started in the community, it is for the community, but everybody in different cultures came to appreciate it. And that's what we're trying to achieve here at Fox Soul. You know, it's a startup. It is. We just had our one-year anniversary in January of this year, which is a blessing. We continue to try to expand the platform. We right now have expanded into been distributed by Samsung TV Plus, Roku, Tubi, of course, YouTube, our own native app, Foxhole app, and so forth. And we continue to try to expand the distribution because the goal is wherever our consumer is, that's really where we want to be. And this came about. Fox had been looking to do their first OTT streaming channel back in early part of 2019. And when I was approached to what I thought about having one dedicated to the African-American community, we started having that dialogue. And one of the main things was that it was very important for to be able to have a voice that is unfiltered, that a place, the community could feel like they had a place where they can come and speak about things that we normally only discuss in the privacy of our own homes or with our closest friends. And that was the mission, to provide that safe place where people feel comfortable. And a lot of the interactive aspect, which we are, is you get an opportunity to speak directly during the live shows that we have with our hosts, become a part of the show. And we like to say that Fox Soul represents everybody. We're built by the people, by the community. And as we select programming and pick programming, we always keep that in mind, that we want to entertain, educate, and inspire all through the perspective of black minds and black creatives and the black community as a whole.
I understand that, as you said, the programming is live. It's in the sort of talk variety, other formats, and as you mentioned, it's interactive. How does the live programming work, and how does the interactivity work?
So we are live now, unfortunately, for COVID. We're in the studio prior to the pandemic, but through Zoom OBS systems that we go live every day at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we used to have call-in numbers when we were in the studio and so forth. So now if you join our YouTube page, you can join the community and you can chat and you can send questions directly, which one of our producers are manning that every day while the shows are going live. And then the host will read your questions, call out your name, respond to it, and it's sort of having a real dialogue. If there's things that you've had in your mind that you haven't had an opportunity to discuss or need answers for, be it during our inspirational hour with the Book of Sean, or our Women's Empowerment Hour with the Queens, Cocktails with the Queens, and so forth, or our Tammy Mack Late Show, which is, you know, that show is themed to being the business of being black in America. So there's a lot of things that the day-to-day, especially in today's climate, that a lot of people are feeling and going through. Instead of just turning on something and watching and not having an opportunity to be involved in it and interactive in it, this gives you that opportunity. It makes you feel like you're a part of the community and you truly are being entertained, educated, and inspired. So that's how the live interactive thing works now. Hopefully when we're back in the studio later on, early fall, we can have the dial-in numbers. We'll be able to actually have you call in FaceTime or Skype and actually see your face as well. And that is a big part of what we want to continue to try to do here at Fox Soul.
And Fox Soul is available. It's been around now for nearly a year and a half. It's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Samsung, Roku, and other such equipment. And joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts, is its head of programming, James DeBose. He's with us live this half hour on Smarty Televised, and we're happy you are live with us as well. Simon Applebaum with you live from Nueva York. 59 degrees, almost 60 degrees at the top of the hour. And if you have a question or comment for James, don't be shy. Make that phone call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Three episodes of TWBT coming your way next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour. We got a great opening guest for you for the week. On Monday, Matt Kernis, the executive producer and creator of Wipeout, very popular show on ABC for many years. Now it's back on TBS, hosted by John Cena and Nicole Byron. Yes, that crazy obstacle course is back and more improved and crazier than ever. Matt will be with us as our opening guest. He's got some new shows also he's working on as well. Plus, we'll talk to the creator and executive producer of Cinema Toast, a very unusual satire on film involving the Duplass brothers. And it's not running on Showtime. It's running on Showtime's digital subscription video on demand service. Jeff Bean is the creator executive producer and we'll be talking to. That's all happening Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. James, talk about some of the individual shows that Fox Soul has, and what's the most popular?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, in the beginning, what we wanted to really try to do is touch every emotion possible. Whenever you watch one of our programs, we wanted you to walk away feeling something. And so it was strategic in how we planned it. So, again, at 4 o'clock is our daily black news show called The Black Report, which is speaking to everything that's going on in the black community specifically, but then how it affects us as a whole. After that, you have The Book of Sean with Dr. Sean McMillan, which is our inspirational show. He interviews the thinkers and doers of the community, and that show is where we celebrate our rhythms and our blues. You know, we don't just come in and promote the success that people are having, but we want to touch the fact that when it was almost over, when what made them keep going when it was at their darkest hour, and motivate people and inspire people in that way. And then we have Claudia Jordan and Cocktails with the Queens, which is right now our number one show. It's with Claudia Jordan, Lisa Ray, Vivica A. Fox, and Selena Johnson. And that is where women, especially black women, get an opportunity to really speak their mind, to really talk about things without being judged, but also inspiring. And you know, a lot of people come and join them for cocktails every Monday night, and that's at 6 o'clock. And then we have what we call our tempo shows at the 7 p.m. hour, which is we have The Mix, which is our younger generation, The Real. We have Jeezy, who has Worth the Conversation, which is great. We have Fox Soul Screening Room, which is us giving black creators an opportunity to showcase their short films. And then we have what we call TGIF, which is on Fridays, which is more our pop entertainment, if you will, show, which is doing extremely well for us as well. And then after that, we have Tammy Mack Late Show, which, you know, from Tammy Mack out of the radio personality from KJLH. She's talking about the business of being black in America. We tackle everything from mental health on that show to finances to racism to everything. That show, we invite everybody of all cultures to come and have real dialogue. Because as I said before, Simon, it's very important is that we are unapologetically black, but we want to be consumable by all and have real dialogue so that we could help grow everybody. So everyone learns to appreciate and respect and understand not only our culture, but other cultures better so that we can move forward as a whole. And that's where Foxhole comes into play with the entertainment, educating, and inspire aspect of what we do.
Mm-hmm. James, what are some of the key topics now based on the feedback from your shows? What is the African-American community that's tuning into your service? What are they most interested in hearing about? What's on their minds?
Well, right now, it's obviously the vaccine. Obviously, we just got over the George Floyd trial, and other things are still happening. And I think right now, Simon, a lot of people just want to come in and be able to vent. They want to talk about topics in an unfiltered way and hear our perspective that is not watered down or judged because of how we feel. I think for the first time, a lot of our viewers are writing in and saying wonderful things that the fact that they feel like they could speak their mind, their truth, and really have a voice. And so those topics that hasn't really been discussed in a pure way, if you will, is very popular right now. And it is really the racism, the cop killings, the hard topic that goes beyond just entertainment. And that seems to be our biggest topic that people want to talk about and they want to hear us discuss as well. And then outside of that is health, is mental health. We open the door, especially in the black community, where it was taboo for a lot of times to discuss those type of things. And it's becoming, I don't want to say popular, but it's becoming more safe, if you will, for people to discuss their issues, celebrities and non-celebrities alike. So those are, I would say, the two main things outside of your typical pop culture event that happens on Cocktails and TGIF that seems to be the public has a thirst for at the moment.
When I first heard about Fox Soul last year, my understanding was that the Fox television stations were working with you to help put the program together. Is that the case? Did the Fox television stations come through with either concepts or studio space or other resources to get the network together?
Well, thanks for asking. That's a great question. So we're owned by Fox, and let me first say that because I have to answer that question quite a bit. Is When they first approached me, one of the things that was very important to me and one of the things that Fox had made a promise, which they stood by to this day, was that we didn't want to be the black faces in front where people not of the culture are pulling the strings behind the scenes. Didn't want to have that conversation. And they promised that wasn't the case. They really felt it was important for underserved community to have a space like this. So they finance us, but they do not get involved in terms of the programming. They do not get involved in terms of what we put on air and not put on air. But they are, again, involved when it comes to budgeting and so forth. And they've been true to that. It's been extremely great partnership. Myself and the team are responsible for the programming and what we like to be on and so forth and what speaks to the community. The Fox television stations are great. They've been great partners with us. They do provide us content for us to take a look at and see if it would fit Fox Soul. They've all been a part of the growth of Fox Soul, which has been great. So I don't want to minimize their helping us get in here, but they all understand the mission, and that is the biggest thing I want to get across. They all respect what we're doing, and they all are helping us trying to enhance what we're doing by understanding the mission of Fox Soul and providing us with the type of programming that really fits. No one is tone deaf to what we're doing, which is very refreshing.
I also understand that you've just brought on a new personality who is an actress, an entrepreneur, a lot of things in her life, and that she now has her own series. Tell us about that person and what kind of program is she doing?
Yeah, Tammy Roman, we just premiered her show, Get Into It with Tammy Roman, this past Tuesday. And, you know, Tammy started in the reality space from the real world way back. I think she was one of the first. Since then, Basketball Wives, entrepreneurship, movies, scripted shows, and continue to do a lot. Right now, she's actually shooting two films now while she's filming her show for Fox Soul. And she just adds to some of what I think what we're trying to do is people that have brands that are highly respected, that have voices that are highly respected and trusted, that we want to bring to the network because it speaks a lot to how they feel about Fox Soul, because they're not going to associate their brand that they've worked hard to create for something that's not of like mind and beliefs and values and so forth. And that show is PM, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays every week. And she is taking on topics that, again, people want to ask and don't have the space for. She's dealing with hard topics. You know, she had a daughter that her first premiere episode, she was speaking with T.S. Madison. Tammy's daughter came out as you know, has been a part of different sexual orientation. Tammy, as a mother, wasn't prepared and didn't know how to handle that. But, of course, she loves her daughter. And it was great dialogue. It was great conversation between her and T.S. Madison, which is what Get Into It with Tammy Roman is really all about. It is hidden subject matter where parents or kids may have a difficult time discussing with one another. It is showing pure, unconditional love no matter what happens within the family, household, and outside. So please join and take a look at Get Into It with Tammy Roman at Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday every weekend at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
You're hearing James DeBose. He is the head of programming for Fox Soul, which is available on smart TV sets and smart devices now in its second year on the air. And he joins us live from Boston this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Finally, I'm going to you live from New York, York. Good to have you aboard this Friday afternoon, wherever you may be, nationwide or worldwide. Catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We're also coming away on podcast through Amazon Music, iTunes, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment remaining this with James, give us a call. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up later on the program, we have our regular Friday feature, The Takeaway of the Week. Also, we have our classic trivia question of the week. We're looking for our second weekly in a row. Stay tuned. We're going to bring it to you in our next half hour, and you could win two soundtracks from the popular sci-fi series Babylon 5 by its composer, Christopher Frank. And we'll give you the question and how you can win in our next half hour. So stay tuned about that. James, with all the services that are available for African Americans, whether it's BET and BET Plus, your service, all BLK, former movie channel, Bounce TV, Brown Sugar, et cetera, how are you doing with getting the word out about what you're doing, but also how are you doing in terms of advertised support?
Right. I think in getting the word out, you know, it has grown organically, which has been great. And again, it goes back to the type of talent that we're bringing to Fox. So Tammy Roman, Claudia Jordan, Vivica A. Fox, Young Jeezy, we have Angela Yee. So their brands speak for themselves, and they bring in a natural following to that. And the difference is, and I don't want to look at like we're competing with the other places that you just mentioned, but that is where we feel like the live and interactive aspect separates us and gives us a little bit of an advantage, because you don't have to be forced to watch whatever we're going to put on without having a say in it, without having a voice in it. And you can't interact with the people, and you can't really speak to what you want to see. Now, you can go and be entertained everywhere else, and you can go do those things, but here you can actually dictate and be a part of things every day. In terms of advertising, we are ad-supported. We're not subscription-based like some of the other places that you mentioned, and we're just now really starting to get into that. We're having great success thus far with all the distribution places that we're on, and it's continuing to grow. We're seeing some big brands start to reach out to us if they get familiar with who we are and loving the content and what our mission is and wanting to be a part. So I anticipate over the next few months seeing some big partnerships with some of the big brands that we're accustomed to seeing on other platforms coming to Fox Soul, which again is going to be, as you know, it's a part of our success. We need that, and we also need people outside the culture to appreciate what Fox Soul is about, and that's what I keep saying, that we are unapologetically black, but we want to be consumable by everyone. We want to speak to the spirit and the humanity of everyone that is watching, be it streaming, digital, linear broadcast, or what have you. We want you to know about Fox Soul.
James, how ambitious do you want Fox Soul to be? Do you want to see the format expand in other areas, whether it is, for example, doing talent shows, game shows, maybe even down the road scripted shows? You mentioned you have a short film showcase. Maybe taking one of those short filmmakers and saying, hey, make a scripted TV series for us, or make a made-for-TV movie.
No, absolutely. And we've licensed some documentaries, and we've licensed films. We want to grow into doing scripted shows, into movies, into docuseries. Every piece of creativity that the consumer likes and enjoys, we want to be a part of that. But you know, what I'm learning, what I've learned in life, period, is patience is the key. But the ambition is to, you know, if I have my wish list and I can write this script as I want it to be, we will maintain where we are, continue to be in a streaming platform, also potentially turn into a linear channel as well, where you can have it on both and enjoy us on different places. But we want to get into every genre of creativity and entertainment that we possibly can as we continue to grow this. But it's going to take – we're a true startup. You know, most – BET has been on 30-plus years. Revolt has been on, I think, 10-plus years. All Black has been around for a while, had different reiterations of what that is. And again, I think for us just to be a little over a year and a half, we've done really well. We've been extremely blessed, and that goes with the people at Fox and their support, the talent that has decided to partner with us, the great team at Fox Soul behind the scenes that works so diligently and hard with a startup network, like with any startup company. And also, obviously, the viewers who tend to appreciate what we're doing. You know, it's still difficult. We still have a long way to go. We still learn a lot. And as the leader of this, I still have to think five steps ahead and where we're headed and how do we grow this thing while still trying to bring the right programming on. So ambition-wise, eventually I want to be the premier destination for content that everyone in the community goes here first.
Mm-hmm. You know, James, as your network is growing, we are seeing more and more African-Americans and people of color enter into the television world. They are creating new television series. They're launching production companies. They're making program development deals, whether it's with Fox, whether it's with Warner Brothers, whether it's Netflix, whether it's Paramount Plus, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, are you hearing from other African-American producers or series creators saying, hey, I have a proposal for this series. You know, I see what you're doing. I want to be aligned with what you're up to. Is that kind of activity happening, even at an early stage for your service?
Absolutely. It's hard to get through my day because so many people are reaching out to want to pitch projects to us, which is a blessing. It's hard to do my day-to-day work, my day-to-day job, because I definitely have to listen to everything as we grow. But again, a lot of people that have been at all these other networks are calling us. Agents are calling us. Managers are calling us, trying to get their talent on the network, pitching us projects. So absolutely that's happening at this stage. And I think because, again, they see the quality and the people that are already on it, who they respect and who know they wouldn't associate their brand with something that wasn't significant for them as well.
Fox Soul, now a year and a half in business. It's available on Samsung Smart TV sets. It's available on Roku and probably other Smart TV sets and Smart TV devices. And by the way, if your Smart TV set or device doesn't have Fox Soul, drop them a note. Let them know that you'd like to see the service, and we'll see what happens. And if you want to know more about the service and what it does, go online to foxsoul.tv. That's FOXSOUL, foxsoul.tv. Once again, Fox Soul available coast to coast on Smart TV sets and Smart TV devices. James DeVos, the head of programming at Fox Soul, joining us live from Boston. Thank you very much for coming on. We've been waiting to get the network on for ever since the start last year. All the very best to you and your crew for making it happen, and we'd love to, as things go forward, cover more of your shows as they pop up. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you very much, Simon, and I want to just – I'm grateful for you inviting me and having me on here and talking about Fox Soul, because it's people like yourself that's going to help us sustain and grow. So I don't take it for granted, and I sincerely give you a big thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, James. That's part of what our show is all about. Our mandate has been we're out to expand diversity on television, and we want to showcase as much of it as we can. And we really appreciate that finally after nearly a year and a half that we were able to showcase Fox Soul. I hope we can do more of it down the road, too.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, James. Take care. Have a super weekend.
All right. You do the same. Take care.
James DeVos, head of programming at Fox Soul, joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts. More tomorrow, please televise coming your way, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, I've been talking a lot about Audible Originals, original audio productions, the best of Broadway or Broadway and regional theater, original podcast series, and also great one woman and one man performances. Well, I'd like to tell you a little bit about one of the latest Audible Originals. It's one of the most ambitious. It's called Pause by Kylie Scott. You know, sometimes we talk about very unusual health conditions where people find themselves in a coma, and the question comes up, well, if you or someone you know were ever in a coma, how would life pass you by? How much of life would pass you by? And what would happen if you did come out of that coma or that person you know comes out of that coma? Could they get their life back? Well, that's the subject of Pause by Kylie Scott. It's a very unusual post-coma tale, and you can get it right now with a trial run to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. And remember, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, etc. All you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, a one-month trial, health and most information for a limited time only, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. Speaking of Amazon, if you're an Amazon Prime customer, great luck for you. You get two audio books to choose from, including something like Pause from the folks of Audible Originals. And remember, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. So how about finding out today or before the weekend's out how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you love can hear the world. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up for the next half hour, our very good friend Tracy Swedlow is back with us. Her TV of Tomorrow show starts on Monday. It's their biggest yet virtually, and she'll be here to talk about it. And we'll also get her involved in one of our regular Friday features, the takeaway of the week. Plus, classic trivia question of the week. Stay tuned. We're going for our second weekly winner in a row. All that coming up next half hour. But first, we pause at the bottom of this hour for web identification. Connect the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tunein.com. together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Want to get a heads up on the sports weekend? Check out BTR's Fast Lane Sports Show tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. The Fast Lane Sports Show, it's your guide to what's going on everywhere from Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, college action, all sorts of great things. So check it out, Fast Lane Sports Show tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half hour of this 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're with us this Friday afternoon. Simon Appel with you live from New York. Questions or comments for our next guest? Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. And speaking of guests, my next guest, we've had her on the show many times over the course of our run. She is the founder of the popular newsletter Interactive TV Today, and she is the originator of the TV of Tomorrow show, which until last year was a twice-a-year event in person. One in Silicon Valley over the summer, and here in New York every December. Well, TVOT went virtual last year, and next week it is back again in one of its biggest visual presentations yet. Joining us live from California, our very good friend, Tracy Swedlow. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Simon. Great to be here, always on your show.
Same here with you aboard. And let's get right to it. Where do you see the TV world going on the eve of your show, especially when smart TV sets and smart TV devices now are in the majority of households, billions of hours of content being watched through them, artificial intelligence allowing people to interact or use and watch use their sets with their voices while they're remote control. It just seems that as you launch your next TV of Tomorrow show, we are at a very important inflection point in terms of TV.
Well, as always, you always ask good questions. So I would say that, you know, we're on the precipice where, you know, the connected TV experience supported by all these MVPDs, you know, and, you know, the sort of cornucopia of services and apps, AVOD, SVOD, Niche VOD, all of these services, you know, are reaching this point where they're teetering between, do I do what I'm doing and try to figure out ways to find more subscribers, market to subscribers, how do I retain them and sort of just give them the content on demand as they have been experiencing now for a while, or do we do something new? So we're on this sort of edge where the platforms underneath the connected TV devices themselves may be innovating and allowing for more interactivity, more options. Some companies are taking more risks than others to deliver interactivity or building cloud interactivity into the platform from day one. So there's some companies who are taking the lead on that, some company platform CE manufacturers who are taking the lead for, you know, the TV device itself. It's an exciting landscape where we're seeing not only the connected TV people trying to figure out how to grow and innovate, but also the mobile TV, you know, the social television platforms, you know, on phones and things, innovate at the same time. And you will find that TVOT coming up all next week, Monday through Friday, Monday, a whole variety of speakers who will provide enormous amount of research and data to back all of this stuff up and to show you what people really want, what the advertisers are doing, what the research tells you. So if you want to find out what is coming up, definitely attend. And by the way, anybody can attend and watch all of the sessions. This time, for the first time only, we're offering free-to-watch tickets. So that's a huge deal because normally tickets were like $625 to $1,200 to come to our in-person events, right? But this event is going to be free to all unless you want all the networking bells and whistles, and it's $199. But anybody can come in, register, and be free-to-watch.
Mm-hmm. I would have to think that you had an incredible choice of guest speakers and subjects to cover. For example, in just terms of promoting content, as anyone who has heard this program over the last year and a half knows, we have featured this incredible variety of new programming services that are using smart TV sets and smart TV devices as either their primary way to be seen by viewers or their exclusive way to be distributed to viewers, including Fox Soul, we just had on the last half hour. And many of these are from new entrepreneurs. They're not from the establishment. They're from communities of color. And we're seeing, as you mentioned, now new moves in interactivity, projects like Rival Peak, from Genvid Technologies, which is the first virtual world made for television, available on Facebook Watch and Portal TV. You've got, speaking of Facebook, Portal TV, their own smart TV device. It's really been an incredible evolvement in such a short period of time. So I'm curious how that's impacted, the subject matter you cover in this and who you have on.
I'm really fascinated with that topic, so thanks for bringing that up. And I'm really thrilled how you always find interesting, unusual, people who are doing their own VOD service to interview on your show. I think the world of what's called niche VOD is rising and becoming much more important because not only do they know their audience very well because they narrow the content choices to themes like. We definitely have Bonnie Cumley, who's the CEO from Broadway HD. We have the managing director, Greg Diefenbach from Magellan TV. The Tastemates and things like that are on here too. But those first two I mentioned are definitely niche VOD services. And I think they have a real advantage to growing their audience, to monetizing their audience, because they understand what those people want. But it's going to require the platforms, the tech behind the screens, the TVs themselves, to be upgraded. And this is what our event is all about. It's discussing what those opportunities are, what's the state of the art, what needs to happen, what isn't yet available. So I would say look out for these independent providers who are not part of the establishment, to lead the way. I think companies who are in the establishment, like Discovery Plus, right, they just launched recently. I think they're taking notice of the competitors out there, like Magellan TV, which is documentary television oriented, or Curiosity Stream, and I think that there's a real interest in delivering content that is of interest to particular smaller audiences. But the question is, and that's going to be addressed at the show, how do you retain them? How can you survive financially on that smaller audience? These are big challenges and I think exciting opportunities ahead.
Yeah. By the way, there's also, it seems to me, another set of interesting services, what I call the multi-channel bundles. And we're talking about services like Tubi, Philo TV, Pluto TV, Zumo, et cetera, et cetera. There are some that are involving local content like Syncback's View with TV, which was on our show last year, as well as Stir from Sinclair. And then you have these, what I call these multi-network content aggregators, Cinedigm, Jukin Media, Future Today, et cetera. And there's a lot of talk about what they're going to do in the next month because of the sense you get that the advertising community is really going to go whole hog in giving all of these services major upfront advertising dollars. And I've seen the advanced program, Tracy, and it seems to be doing a lot to reflect that there is this sense of get ready, advertising community, we're plunging in, we're no longer going to be dependent on just linear TV.
I think that all of those services, are building a multi-platform offering. They also have enormous amount of data that will give them the advantage. I think that they need to reach out into social more. I think that there's a lot of room for growth there. And I think that the aggregators in general, and even if there are smaller ones like that, there's still some challenges. Like I said, people are peeling off to go to niche VOD services, but how will these massive aggregators continue to pump those advertising dollars successfully through these platforms? What kind of cloud data advertising tracking management service do you have behind the screen to give you that advantage? I'd be curious to sort of compare what all of those companies have got at their disposal. There's a new aggregator that's going to deliver all of those smaller services, like you mentioned, called Stroom, that's going to be available this spring, S-T-R-U-U-M. And they're doing a different model in which they're offering a sort of like a class pass model where you'll be able to sample all of those smaller providers, decide which shows you want to watch, which platforms you want to sign up to. People are going to have to be more sophisticated about how they not only deliver advertising, like you're saying, and but also how they are delivering the subscribers to those platforms and monetizing them as they pass through their gates. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. The annual TV of Tomorrow show, virtual edition, happens all next week, Monday through Friday. It starts each day at 11 p.m. Eastern time at 8 a.m. Pacific. And yes, as Tracy just said, you can get in there free of charge. And we'll tell you more about that as we go along. Tracy Swedlow is with me this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He is the originator of the TV of Tomorrow show, as well as the proprietor behind Interactive TV Day, wonderful newsletter. Also does Television Nation, which is available as well. Week by week on video in many different ways. And she's with us live from California, IA, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. Question or comment for Tracy, get on the phone and make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Is there a particular person or a particular topic you particularly are looking forward to?
Well, actually, I'm looking forward to your session. And your session is going to be Thursday at 8:05 Pacific, 11:05 Eastern, and you're going to be talking to Samsung's Avner Ronan on the evolution of connected TV, which is your favorite topic. And I want to hear what you're interested in, what you want to ask Avner, because you know, you're always curious about the state of the art of the device itself. What do you think is going to be important in that conversation?
And that's going to be the kickoff, by the way, on Thursday. And I'm looking forward to it immensely, Tracy, and thank you for the opportunity. First of all, Avner is a key person at Samsung. But those who don't know, Avner, not so long ago, was in the smart TV field with his own device called Boxy, B-O-X-E, and we had him on Tomorrow Be Televised when he was doing that. I am really looking forward to hearing what he thinks about the whole smart TV scene, current and future. I'm looking forward to hearing what he thinks about niche content, as you are. And also, I'm very curious what he thinks about the interactive scene. What does he think about the role of interactive TV, the role of interactive advertising, of content and commerce, which looks like it's starting to bubble in a lot of very interesting ways. I'm going to get to that in our takeaway of the week section a little bit. So I think there's a lot to talk to Avner about. And Samsung is in a very interesting position because for the first time, they're going to be part of the digital content new front as a player. They are going to go for ad bucks for the services that they carry on their smart TV sets. And not the only ones, too. Vizio is going to get into it. LG is going to get into it. And, of course, Roku. More about that in a little bit. And I really think that it will be interesting to hear how Avner, now that he is on a different level, a different plane in this whole smart TV, advanced TV world, what he thinks about all of this. So I'm really looking forward to it. And then coming up right after us, is Donna Special, the new head of advertising at Univision. She made it very clear in the Univision's pre-upfront event a couple weeks ago that they are on the warpath to get a tremendous amount more Spanish language advertising than they currently get. And with the new Televisa deal, it'll be very interesting to see whether they finally address the issue of can Univision finally allow scripted television produced in the United States by U.S. Latino writer, producers, and creators. I think they have to address the subject. If not at that event, next week, certainly at their upfront or shortly after, as they try to get Televisa in the fold.
I know a session that you're going to be interested in, which is a keynote fireside chat with Rob Gellick, who is the EVP and general manager of streaming services at Viacom CBS. So I think you'll be fascinated with that. He's going to talk about Paramount Plus, right, another new entry into the market, and the role in Viacom CBS's streaming strategy. So I'm sure you'll be interested to hear about that one. And, you know, Josh Feldman, who is chief marketing officer of NBC Universal, is also going to be doing a keynote fireside chat with Mike Bloxam from Magen, and he's going to talk on how brands and media will build the future of partnerships. So I think there's a lot of, there are various other keynotes I think that I'm looking forward to, like Ann Shelley, who's the managing director of Pearl TV, is going to give a complete overview of all the exciting things going on in the ATSC3 world. Speaking of which, do you know that Sony has got a whole set of ATSC3 enabled TVs on the market now? We're going to be giving one away at the show. So if you're talking about interactivity, watch that space, because next-gen TV-enabled TVs are going to allow for interactivity, Simon, It's going to be an exciting new world for local television, broadcast television, the news business. It's going to transform. And All Day Wednesday is called, it's sponsored by New York Interconnect, and it's going to be all about local TV and ATSC3 and all of those kinds of topics. That's the bleeding edge right there. So I am definitely excited about that. And Madeline Nolan, who is the president of the ATSC, which is the organization behind the tech spec enabling the creation of the ATSC spec that will allow this interactivity, will also be doing a short presentation. So I would say what I'm looking forward to, of course, the whole event, but those are some important keynotes that you don't want to miss.
Speaking of next-gen TV, what do you think about where we are at with that? And I mentioned that because I attended CES 2021, their virtual show. And one of the things that came across was that I thought their ATSC, their next-gen TV panel was a botch. I thought that, and Madeline was on that panel, the moderator was terrible, did not get in, it got into the weeds, but didn't get into where we're going, what's happening, and so on and so forth. And I think you have a great chance to, and I think they have a great chance to rectify it. And I'm like wondering, where are we at? I know we're seeing more markets launch next-gen television, but we're not hearing about where things are going. We're not hearing about new services they're offering. We're not. What is your sense of what's going on? And also, did CES 2021 did it push back the progress of next gen television because of how it was showcased there?
Well, you know, as much as I like Gary Shapiro and what he tries to do at CES, it's a massive experience, not only in person but online, and I'm sure it's very challenging to try to highlight certain sessions in an online live streaming experience that are so big. Maybe you get lost a little bit. So we try to really narrow what we're doing. We're kind of like niche VOD in some ways for events. We are focusing the whole day of Wednesday on the local TV or ATSC3 discussion. We have been honing our expertise to be able to present this to you, to bring in the exact right people and frame the conversation so that you get answers to the questions that you just posed. And so I think you will find people discussing that. They'll give you specifics on what's happening, the experiments that are being done. We definitely have a session, for example, called Automotive Use Cases for ATSC3. So we're going to have some fresh video on what the car business is doing with ATSC3 in various markets. And, of course, in the ATSC3 stuff has been launched in like 70-plus or many more markets than that all over the country. So there's going to be quite a lot of research and data that you'll have access to at this event. I think you're going to get pretty much the bleeding-edge experience on that topic here.
And before it's all over on Friday, Tracy, you have a panel which is showcasing like the new players. You've sort of uncovered like this new collection of players. Tell us about that panel, because I have a hunch it's going to be, I think it's something worth, you know, staying to the very end for.
That's very sweet, Simon. I appreciate it. But don't forget, there's Drag Queen Bingo on Friday at lunch. Interactive TV. So everybody stay tuned for that. We also have an interactive game show on Monday at lunch because, you know, we both love interactive TV. So my Programming Innovators Roundtable, our grand finale panel, is at 1:40 p.m. Pacific Time or 4:40 Eastern, and we have assembled some incredible people. We have the CEO of Rizzle.tv, which is a TikTok competitor from India, but they're also in the United States. Albi Hecht, who is the CEO, I can't remember his actual title, from Pocket Watch, which is, you know, Gen Alpha. I think they call them Gen Alpha, right? All the small kids. Mm-hmm. We have Zane Bella from Comcast, always doing the latest new thing for the cable industry, and he's going to talk about live streaming, interactivity, voice, monetization, shoppable, all kinds of stuff. And he's got some video to show that no one has seen before. And Ben Rellis, who is the head of original content for YouTube, who's spoken with us before, and he's going to talk about some original work. And Jeff Eberman, who's from Tastemade, they're doing some exciting things to grow their community that he's only going to release. But I interviewed everybody. we're going to see, I mean, behind the this week, so I knew what they were going to do, and I do know that we're going to see some video of examples of some of the work they're doing that hasn't been seen elsewhere, and what their strategy is and how it's going to change with voice and, you know, the ability to do more interactive things. So stay tuned for that.
Tracy Swidlow for the TV of Tomorrow show. She's our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and her special affair begins on Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, it's 8 a.m. Pacific, and we'll tell you before the top of the hour how you can be involved and catch the program, which is all virtual this year. And I hope if things are going the way they're going here in New York, Tracy, I hope that we can get TV of Tomorrow show back in person this December in New York, because we miss it very much. It's really terrific. If a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Tracy, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, that's a trivia question coming up before the top of the hour as well. You know, Tracy, we do this new Friday feature called Takeaway of the Week, where we showcase a development or two that takes place in the week that people should take away from because it will impact where TV is at and where it's going in their lives. So I want to give you the opportunity to make a guest contribution to our new Friday feature this year. What development in TV happened this week that you think we should take away from?
From this week specifically? I don't know about this week specifically. I've been so head down, you know, on this. But I'll tell you one thing that is going to transform the TV business, transform TV watching, and make interactive TV all of a sudden something everybody has to have. And that is going to be interactive TV sports betting. Watch that space. That is going to affect every single app out there. I don't have much
and
more
I'll tell
to
you,
say on
Tracy,
that.
There was
we,
a development
we
this week.
To,
Sling TV announcing that they're doing a, I think it's from DraftKings, that they're doing a special sports information, sports betting information channel.
Yeah, so it's all very exciting. We actually tried to build a session on this. It's very difficult right now because nobody wants to talk about it publicly yet. It is going to be the biggest set of launches you ever saw. It's going to be very important.
Wow. I agree with you. I agree with you. This, and it's fast-moving, too. It's fast-moving. Well, Tracy, my takeaway of the week is Roku and what they did on two counts this week. Count number one, they came out of the closet and said, we are doing original programming. We're going to be a player in first-run television. It's not going to be just Quibi that we picked up. We're going to do more original shows. We'll know more about that a week from Monday because they lead off the digital content new fronts a week from Monday. But the other story, which didn't get a lot of attention, and it should have, they are now launching Food Network Kitchen. It is the first time in the year and a half that Food Network Kitchen has been operating that it's running on another smart TV device other than Amazon Fire TV sets with the, as the operating system or Amazon streaming sticks. And it says two things. One, it says that Roku is now in the interactive services game. Number two, that Discovery is so high on Food Network Kitchen, which is an interactive service that gives you live interactive cooking classes. You can call up recipes from a library of 80,000, and you can also order kitchen utensils, food, and food ingredients, which Amazon can then deliver, you know, same day or next day. And I think the thing is that Discovery is now saying, you know what, we're now at the point where we can offer this on other smart TV sets and other smart TV devices. And if that's the case, it's a big decision for them because you're going to see more interactive cooking services. Samsung's working on one. We'll hopefully talk to Abner about that, by the way, on Thursday. And I know of at least one other that is also in the process of trying to launch before the end of the year. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Grubhubs, the DoorDashes, the HelloFreshes of the world, they do television as well before the end of the year, if not next year.
I want to point out that Josh Feldman, who is the Chief Marketing Officer, Advertising Sales and Partnerships at NBC Universal, will be doing a fireside keynote. I mentioned it earlier with Mike Loxton from Maggot, but, you know, NBC has really dedicated themselves to the shoppable agenda. So I think you're definitely going to want to check that out because that's going to be very exciting. I mean, will they be able to do like what Food Network Kitchen does, you know, which is very, you know, they're the pioneers in the business. Will all of these shows all of a sudden have classes to do this and classes to do that? And so, I mean, you and I have been talking about this for a long time, Simon. And finally, they're pulling around to be able to do this. So it's very exciting. Also,
and we could see
point
things
out
in healthcare as well as education, a few other things along that line too.
Yeah. I want to point out a couple of other things quickly that are very important. The ATSC people are also going to talk about interactivity and education. So schools, broadcast, and education, that's going to be a very important topic. And another really great topic, which will be on Monday, is going to be called How Do You Know It's Real? So all of the people out there who've been following the NFT topic, the real fake, I've forgotten, you know, with the Tom Cruise fake videos and things like that, you know, are we going to be able to trust what we see on TV? So not only is the TV business changing and becoming more interactive and shoppable, but video itself as a medium is going to be changing dramatically, and artists and video makers are going to be able to play with the fabric of video itself to tell stories. So I think, actually, as always, we try to provide a session that is intellectual, that's probing, that's going way into tomorrow, you know? And that will be that session led by Seth Haberman called How Do You Know It's Real? So stay tuned for that. Wow.
That should be a great one. Tracy, before we go, is there a company or a trend that's not on our radar screens that should be? If not now, soon.
Well, I do think the education market is going to explode. It's not being public by what they're doing yet, but education and interactive TV is going to be a massive new trend. I would put that on your radar if you're interested in the education of your kids.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll be doing more on that topic. Stay tuned. We do these interviews called Televisionation, and I welcome you, Simon, to be on our show, to be on TV, and to participate in those conversations or to lead them yourself, so maybe in the future.
Yeah, I've been on before, and it's been wonderful, and we got to do it again, absolutely. And before we wrap up, I'll give you my trend and my company to watch. Trend to watch, crowdfunding, cryptocurrency, blockchain, and NFTs to finance new ventures. It's happening. And interactivity may be important. In fact, there is an interactive venture called Clash TV. It's an interactive overlay you find on some Nick Smart's Marlott's coverage on Fubo TV and other places, which gives you everything from stats to betting information to being involved with finding out more details about the fighters. And they're already raising about $400,000-something in a campaign on WeFunder.com to increase what they're doing and do all sorts of other interactive stuff. I think you'll see more things like that. And I think the this whole effort with blockchain cryptocurrency is also going to get into the interactive field. I mean, in terms of not just content, but other things as well. And the company I suggest you watch, we had them on last year. I hope we have them on again. Seize the Show from David Carpenter. He's the grandson of Pete Carpenter, the famous musician working by Post on the Rockford Files and Magnum P on other shows. Seize the Show is interactive performances, which you can see on some smart TV sets. And you can participate in dictating the course of the play. They're celebrating their first anniversary this month. They have a lot of exciting projects in the fire, and I think they will be giving more of a big plunge into television as time goes on in the year, too. So keep your eye on them. I hope we'll have David back, I hope, in the next few months as they get their interactive TV plans together. Again, the TV of Tomorrow show starts on Monday, runs all week long, Monday through Friday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific. And if you want details on getting in on this virtual action, what you got to do is go to thetvoftomorrowshow.com. That's the TVOfTomorrowShow.com is all the information. I promise you, if you don't know a lot about where this interactive advanced TV world is going, you will by the time next Friday is over. And the timing, by the way, Tracy, is terrific because of the Jakarta New Fronts and the Upfronts coming up in mid-May. Next month, by the way, is going to be an amazing time in terms of news. Tracy, it's time has run by, as always, very fast with you aboard. It's been a pleasure all the way. Look forward to the Avner Roner interview. That's Thursday, by the way, April 29th, 11:05 Eastern. We start. And it should be a dandy. It's always a pleasure to be involved with you and have you on our program. And all the very best with TV of Tomorrow Show. And again, I hope it comes back to New York this fall.
We'll see. I've got some great ideas for in-person events that we haven't done before. So stay tuned for that. And we'll definitely have you there as well. Thanks so much, Simon. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on here and talk to your audience.
You're a very pleasure, Tracy. And by the way, best to you, your husband Richard, all the people involved in putting the show together with you. Have a great weekend together. Take a great deep breath, and let's fly next week.
All right. Everybody go to Find the Session. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Tracy. Take care. Tracy Swedlow from Interactive TV Today and the TV Tomorrow Show joining us live from California. Well, when we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and coming up next, the director of ABC's special Monday night program devoted to 50-plus years of Sesame Street. Rebecca Gimlitz joins me live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're at the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, spreaker.com, and tuning.com. Together, reaching nearly 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, this Sunday is Big, Big Blend Radio, and it deals with the problems of teenagers this time around. Big Big Blend Radio, check it out Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our final half hour of this 90-minute Friday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. One of those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Tom Hoffman with you live from New York. Another great guest coming away in the half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question of the week. And if you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, 652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. So if you shy about the phone, use the room, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. This Monday night, ABC is going to take 2 hours and devote it to one of the most unique programs in the existence of this medium and the existence, you might say, of Americana, Sesame Street. It started in 1969 when public television owned National Educational TV. From then on, it's always been produced in New York. It is one of the great groundbreakers in the world of television. It's won Emmy Awards, Peabody Awards, all sorts of awards all over the place. Now 52 years old, new episodes now running on HBO, and a brand new movie just came out called Street Gang, which is about how Sesame Street came together. But this Monday night, you can see a very special, very unique turn about how Sesame Street came to be and how it's going now. It's called 50 Years of Sunny Days. It's on ABC, Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And joining us live to talk about it is its director, Rebecca Gitlis. Rebecca, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Rebecca, where are you calling from? What city?
I am in Montclair, New Jersey.
Ah, great location. Not far from where my parents are. By my happy birthday, Dad, for those of you just joining us. It's my dad's birthday. And my parents are in New Jersey for a good chunk of the year. Rebecca, how long has this tribute to Sesame Street been in the works for?
It was conceived over 2 years ago, actually, but we turned our content around and decided to address more of the social justice programming that they had going on over the summer and sort of reconceived it and started in earnest, in September.
By the way, Vorpal by 3 just joined us. From our chat room, I believe he's in Indiana, so welcome aboard, Vocal by 3, and if you have a question or comment for Rebecca, put in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. What's the big message that you want this special to give, whether people have enjoyed Sesame Street all these years or not?
I think, what I found most interesting when making this special was the depth of what Sesame Street really does and how they have really shaped who we are for three generations, and really the complexities that they are willing to do, whereas nobody else is. And so it's they're looking at the whole child and the whole family. And I think that, very often people do one thing well, but Sesame Street has managed to be in a league of its own in terms of doing many things well.
Mm-hmm. How much does your special get into the people that made Sesame Street go back in 1969 and the fact that they came from a wide variety of backgrounds? We're talking people like Jim Henson with the Muppets. Dave Connell was the executive producer, came from executives in Captain Kangaroo for so many years. John Stone, the producer-director, who really set the format and the mood of Sesame Street, who had done the CBS Children's Film Festival, one of the most unique shows still in the history of network children's television. And you had, of course, Joe Raposo, who wrote many of the great songs on Sesame Street with Jeff Moss. Joe was a music director for a local talk variety show in the afternoons on WNYW TV Channel 5, now WNYW. And people would reach teletape, the technical production crew, not to mention the cast members, Loretta Long, who had done Soul on the PBS, Matt Robinson, Bob McGrath from Sing Along with Mitch, Will Lee from Broadway and Off-Broadway. How much does your show get into how this incredible mass of talent all came together to do Sesame Street?
So we wanted to look at this in a much more issue-based lens. So rather than sort of looking at the people behind it, we looked at the thesis behind it. We looked at the idea that any child who, as Chris Jackson puts it so well, was so marginalized that they might fall off the rails at any one moment, Sesame Street was looking to speak to. And so we really looked at it through that lens rather through the lens of the people. So, you know, it would be impossible to make a Sesame Street film without discussing Joan Ganz Cooney or without discussing the magic that was Jim Henson. But we really wanted to do something that didn't meet the eye. You know, I think that when you think about Sesame Street, you think about all the things that you do know, and I was really interested in telling the story of things that maybe people didn't know. So we did sit down with Sonia Manzano for quite a long time, and my goodness, was that a very fun afternoon. So she told a lot of that origin story for us through the lens of someone who was from, you know, what the Sunny Days Sesame Street set was supposed to represent. And, you know, one of the great lines of her interview was, in 1969, she was aware that there was no people of color on television, right? And when what she would hear in the early days was that, oh, you do exist, I exist. And, you know, she created a place where people could see themselves. And so we really looked at what they were able to accomplish and the impact of Sesame rather than the origin of Sesame.
What do you think the most important contribution to Sesame Street through that lens has been or continues to be?
I mean, this is a bold statement, and I feel okay saying it. I think Sesame taught us about diversity in the world and inclusion, and that we do all exist and we can all exist together, and that a city exists and that women can do big things and run a construction shop, and that, you know, people of all races and all genders can coexist, and that the world can be a good and kind and inclusive place. And I think Sesame Street was doing that far before anybody else was.
Yeah, I mentioned Matt Robinson and Loretta Long, who were an African-American couple on the show. Who apparently mm-hmm. owned the tenement
mm-hmm.
that they lived in, and it was very important that be shown, that they were people who were
mm-hmm.
entrepreneurs, and also was a very loving couple. And you mentioned Sonia Manzano. Speaking of background, she came from, I believe she was in the original cast of the Off-Broadway Roy of Godspell, and not only did she become
mm-hmm.
One of the key characters on Sesame Street, human characters on Sesame Street, but she also had a major role behind the scenes. What was it like talking to her and talking about her life on that series?
I think just, like, the wealth of experience was unbelievable. And one of the things that I really respect about Sesame, and Sonia really solidified this, was that it was as open and as egoless as you would imagine it to be. You know, I think they were open to listening to things. And, you know, she would tell these great stories about how she'd say to John Stone, like, that's not the Spanish that I speak. And John Stone would say, okay, well, then speak the Spanish that you're used to, you know? And so I think that she really solidified that they were looking to expand, and they were looking to be real, and they were looking to be authentic. And that is something that resonates with the audience and has allowed it to resonate for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with director Rebecca Gitlis. Her special, Sesame Street, 50 Years of Sunny Days, premieres Monday night on ABC, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. And we'll talk in a moment about a very unusual twist that this special has, which I think is quite interesting. Rebecca joins us live from Montclair, New Jersey, in the New York metro area this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And we're happier with us, too, as we bring our Friday afternoon to a close. Simon Happ, I'm with you live from New York. Glad to have you here for the program all about TV's current and future. If you have a question or comment, Rebecca, well, make the call. It's so simple, 646-652-2906. or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name Bubble Byte 3 is in the room right now. Coming on Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, first of three episodes next week, my lead guest will be from Wipeout, the creator executive producer of that series, which used to be a staple on ABC, now on TBS, hosted by John Cena and Nicole Byer. The one and only Matt Kernis will join us. And Matt's got some other interesting TV projects in the fire. We'll talk about those as well. Plus, we'll talk to the creator executive producer of the new Showtime series, Cinema Toast, Jeff Baena. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Now, I understand that one of the highlights about your special is we get to see a Sesame Street character develop. Talk about that.
Yeah, Wes and Elijah are the new characters on the show. They're part of the racial justice initiative that the workshop is implementing. And what I loved about watching this process was how deliberate they are and how it's not just the puppet. It's the personality. It's what their hopes and their dreams and their hobbies are and who they are as people. And we watched the drawing of them, and we watched the audition of them, and we watched the script being made. And, you know, I think that you don't appreciate the depth that goes into these characters and the thoughtfulness that goes into these characters. And I not only loved watching them be made, but I loved hearing the soul that they were born out of. You know, these were Sesame Street employees who believed in what they were doing and believed in these characters, and that comes across so beautifully. And that's one of the things we wanted the audience to see was how deliberate Sesame is in everything they do and how they're so successful.
Mm-hmm. Bubble Byte 3 raised an interesting issue, and I'm going to sort of frame it for our conversation a little bit here, and that is what is the attitude that you learned from talking with people involved with Sesame Street about how they've handled diversity from the get-go, how they've handled it, whether it's been having people of color, whether it's having human characters who are deaf or disabled in some way, and how that treatment has evolved from the beginning to today?
Yeah, I think it's very deliberate. I think that they always, you know, the original premise of Sesame Street was to create an equal playing field for young kids who weren't able to go to preschool. And that was historically marginalized kids in the inner city. And Sesame believed from the outset they won't, you know, it won't resonate with them. And I think that that has never left them. They always wanted to feel like this was a place where you were included. You know, it started early on where they wanted kids in wheelchairs. They wanted kids with Down syndrome. They wanted you to be able to see yourself in a place that was inclusive for all. And I think that that core thesis has resonated with Sesame in every decision they've ever made. And so, you know, we see it in just representation, and they made a deliberate point this year to say it's not enough. We have to be more deliberate. One of my favorite interviews in the entire show is a guy named Jelani, and he wrote this unbelievable book called A Kid's Book About Racism. And when my son was born, we bought it for him. Meanwhile, you know, he was just born. And we reached out to him when this special started, and I said, would you please be an interview for this show? And he sat down with us and said, you know, kids are ready if you're willing to have the conversation. And most people are not. And to Sesame's credit, they are. And they are willing to say, if you can't do it, we will. And I think that's never left them.
In fact, one of the great highlights of Sesame Street, and you got to give everybody on that program, the Children's Television Workshop, credit for it, was the fact that when one of the original cast members, Will Lee, the Planet Made Mr. Hooper, passed away, Sesame Street said, we're going to do an episode where we are going to directly address this. We trust kids. We trust their parents. And we're going to do it. And we're going to be honest. We're going to be sensitive. And we're going to be honest about it. And it turned out to be, I think, one of the most incredible episodes of children's television, live-action children's television, you'll ever see.
absolutely right. And you just brought up an excellent point, which is the idea of trust, right? And Sesame trusts their audience, and the audience in return really trusts them. And so they're able to do those kinds of things. And Marty Robinson, who is the puppeteer for Snuffleupagus and now one of the puppet captains, talked about that scene and how emotional it was and how there was never a flinch of we shouldn't do this. You know, this exists in the world for children, right? These issues exist. Death will come. And so they always want to be the North Star, right? They are the North Star of, you don't know how to talk to your children about it? Okay, we will. You know, and this is an amazing story, which didn't make the special, but, you know, the Mr. Hooper's death episode was actually aired on Thanksgiving so that they knew that kids wouldn't be alone in the house. And even if, you know, we all do this, like put our kids in front of the TV and move around and do stuff, they knew that wouldn't necessarily be the case that day because it was Thanksgiving. And so they're very thoughtful about things like that.
I want to welcome Random Brain Activity into our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. Another very, I think, important and very unusual outcome or outgrowth of Sesame Street was the fact that some of their songs became national sensations. Green, because of Frank Sinatra's rendition of it. Sing, the title song, Who Are the People in Your Neighborhood. All songs that become really part of kids' culture, and not just kids' culture, but total culture. And I'm wondering if your special explores that, you know, the impact of the original music for Sesame, the original songs for Sesame Street.
It does. We thought that music was a huge part of this. And Questlove, who graciously sat down with us, told this great story about, you know, intonation and how kids learn differently. And so you could teach a lesson like this or you could teach a lesson like this, right? And that's why Sesame resonates, because they're able to speak the language of a toddler, which is very often song. And so we explained, you know, the gamut of ways that they use music, including teaching the alphabet. You know, John Oliver tells this such a great story about how he learned to count by the Pointer Sisters, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Sorry for your viewers to have to have listened to that. But we also talk about how protest songs and songs with messages, especially subtle ones, are such an important tool in the tool belt of Sesame. So we focused a lot on the song I Love My Hair that Chris Jackson had written because, you know, Joey had a young daughter and he didn't know how to do her hair. And they wrote this song, I Love My Hair, and it was this little thing, and it became, you know, in Chris Jackson's words, a black girl super anthem. And, like, I just love that. And you get the energy from these songs, and they do such a good job of not ever forcing anything down your throat, but saying, like, oh, I didn't think about that, right? And how, you know, it's an amazing thing to watch Sesame Street with your children versus watching it on your own because, you know, it comes alive in their eyes and some light bulb goes on and they say, oh, yeah, that's what they meant. So, yes, we do dive into music significantly.
You have a lot of celebrities who are on your program. Who are some of the celebrities that you have on your special? And for you, what was the most interesting celebrity conversation that came out?
I mean, obviously, it's amazing whenever you have someone from the White House represented, and I am a big fan of Dr. Biden, and I was so grateful that she wanted to be a part of this special. You know, we called Angelina Jolie and said we're doing a segment on the plight of refugees and what Sesame is doing there, and she said, great, you know, sign me up. You know, we looked at John Legend and Chrissy Teigen from a very different perspective as parents of toddlers, you know, and they did the scene with their kids, and it was like being in my own living room, you know. But I think my very favorite was very early on in this process, I thought about music and about how important it was. And I said, you know, Stevie Wonder has to do the open of this song. He just has to. He has to bridge the gap between the nostalgic Sesame that we know and the forever ingrained Sesame that we know. And I went to his camp and I said, can we please make this reimagined Sunny Days? And, you know, thinking it would never happen. And it did. And we recorded it 7 days ago. And it was just every amazing thing you could imagine it would be.
Rebecca, what's next for you? What's coming up on your radar screen?
I am actually completely leaving this genre, and I will be working on a show about the new Inspiration 4 crew that is going to space as the first ever civilians.
Talk a little more about that. What's that all about?
It is a 6-part series that explores, you know, the gap between civilian life and space life. And, you know, we've always known this as astronauts. And, you know, now the world will be forever changed.
And where will that run?
You know, Simon, I'm not sure it's been announced yet because I've been in this Sesame bubble. So I don't want to do the wrong thing and say it. I'm sorry.
No problem. Rebecca, no problem. But do let us know where it's going to run and when, and we'd love to have you back to talk about it. In the meantime, Sesame Street, 50 years of sunny days, actually 52, but who's counting? It's been around for a long time, and it will continue to go and go and grow. So remember, the special is on ABC this Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, the p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. For more details about the promo online, go to abc.com. And don't forget, Sesame Street continues to run on HBO with new episodes, half-hour episodes, and also still runs on most public television stations at various hours of the day. So do check it out. Rebecca, thank you very, very much for chronicling Sesame Street and all the great achievements it's had over its half century and change. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Good luck with the special Monday night. And we'd love to have you back to talk about your future projects when you can.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, Simon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Rebecca. Again, best of luck on Monday night. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Rebecca Gitlitz, director of Sesame Street, 50 Years of Sunny Days on ABC, Monday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, joining us live from Montclair, New Jersey. And I also want to say while we're on the subject of Sesame Street that today a new film about the making of Sesame Street came out in theaters around the country. It's called Street Gang. It's based on a best-selling book. The Center for Communication had a special virtual event to talk about it. I hope we will get the people involved on. One of the people involved, by the way, is from the great, great film Manhot Ballroom that covered Dancing Classroom. So again, Street Gang, which approaches Sesame Street from how it came together back in 1969 and what's been happening since. It started on at theaters around the country today. It'll be going to more theaters next month, and ultimately will be appearing on video on demand. We're going to try to see, as I said, get the producers of that film on upcoming Tamabe Televised episode. Now, let's do our classic trivia question of the week before we leave you on this Friday afternoon. And we're looking for our second weekly winner in a row. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win a pair of Babylon 5 soundtracks from that great science fiction syndicated series, the music by its composer, Christopher Frank. Here is the question. Name Melissa Hardigay's first television series, not Law & Order Special Victims Unit. Believe it or not, that wasn't her first. Name Marissa Hardigay's first television series. It was on NBC. It's a one-word title, and it was in 1986. Again, name Marissa Hardigay's first television series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name as well as your where you live, your mailing address. So if you win, we will get the soundtracks of Babylon 5 out to you. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's at UBC Simon, TWBT. If you've already won before, you're not eligible, let somebody else win and get their chance in the spotlight. One more time, here's the classic trivia question. Name Mariska Hargitay's first television series. Give you three clues. 1986, one-word title, and it was on NBC. Know the answer? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and let's see if we can get our second Classic Trivia Weekly winner in a row. Again, if we don't have the answer by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning, and if we need it throughout the weekend, Simon Applebaum on Facebook and at UBC Simon, TWBT on Twitter. So in order to win, play in. Do so. Sooner you do, sooner you might win. And we'd love to have that on our next episode on Monday. And all the very, very best. And by the way, thank you to Vorpal by 3 for the post Sesame Street comment. Says he loves our show, even when you have to bring the ugly news. So thank you. And thank you, Vorpal by 3, for tuning into our show today. And thank all of you for tuning in the program as well. Don't forget, we'll have 3 episodes coming your way next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this very hour. Coming up on Monday, from Wipeout, the creator executive producer of the TBS revival of that show, and he also created the original on ABC not so long ago, Matt Kernitz will be my lead guest. And then from the new Showtime series, Cinema's host, creator executive producer, Jeff Baena. And remember, 1 week from Monday, that's 1 week from Monday, special evening edition of our show. It happens during the first day of the Digital Content New Front, which runs over to our regular time period. So we'll be with you next Monday, May 3rd. That's May 3rd, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We're trying to get some really good guests for that episode, including one that may be involved with the Digital Content New Front going on. It takes place a week from Monday, starting at noon Eastern time, and that's 9 a.m. Pacific. Roku kicks it off with their presentation. Amazon wraps it up. We'll have the latest, no matter what, we'll have the latest news from Digital Content New Front. Any big developments, we'll bring them to you on that special episode. It's May 3rd, Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed throughout this month or earlier, well, go to our homepage anytime you like. They'll be available throughout the weekend. It's Simon App. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you always catch us on podcasts. We're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, the R Radio Podcast Network at rradio.com, Verbal at verbal.com, and, of course, Amazon Music. I want to thank all of our guests for being here today, all of you for tuning in. What do you think about our show today? What's your thought for where TV is at and where it's going? I'd love to hear what you thought about what Tracy Sweddle had to say about the future of advanced TV and interactive TV. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. We do respond to your emails in 24 hours or less. You can also catch me on Facebook and on LinkedIn and on Twitter. And we do respond on social media as well within 24/7. Remember, you also catch my columns about television. I'll be televised by name at Media Village, the Media Leadership website. Go to www.mediavillage.com. It's www.mediavillage.com. In fact, I had a column that came out today about a very special campaign the CW is doing with some of its stars of its shows and the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. Check it out at mediavillage.com. We always love hearing from you. And why do we respond? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televise brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For 1-2 free audiobooks and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televise. For Tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Thank you, Dad, for everything you you contribute to my life. Now and always and forever. Happy birthday to you once again. Have a wonderful weekend. We're back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Verbal Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to do now and then, please make it safe, make it great. Let's put this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And Dan, happy birthday.